when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a dumb spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has he had this?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have pity on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And leave that one up there just for a few minutes. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you speak to all of us today through the message and the scriptures about our faith and what we believe. And I ask that you take these words and quicken them and give them life, the life of your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When I was 35, I was still at the church down in Kentucky at that time, and I came up here to visit my parents in the summer, and my father was 70 years old. And I've watched him for a number of years, and I've watched him in terms of his faith and everything. You know, somebody's always watching. But I wanted to ask him, I intentionally sat down and asked my dad a couple of important questions because I wanted to know how he thought about his faith and his life. I need to back up just for a second and say, this is actually Father's Day. You didn't know that, did you? Father's Day, we had the church in the round here, and I did the Burden of Light. And you don't know how highly stressful to do a message in a circle is, because you're wondering whether you're going to spin around too many times and get throw up on your shoes. And then the next Sunday, we did the whole thing about worship, and it was still in the round and everything, and so we missed Father's Day and that day. And then last week, of course, I gave my response to the Supreme Court's arrogance. And if you want to hear that, you can get online and hear it. But I took a stand in terms of that. So I missed Father's Day. So this is your Father's Day message. Anyway, I asked my dad a couple questions because I was really interested in what makes him tick in terms of his faith. And I asked him a question, "What is the essence of your faith?" And he answered very quickly. He said, "The way I live my faith is easy. When I get up in the morning, I try to do what the Lord wants me to do with that day, and I try to avoid doing what the Lord doesn't want me to do." Now, of course, one thing you need to know is that my dad knew the Bible. So when he said that he wanted to do what the Lord wanted him to do and avoid the things that which he shouldn't do, he knew what those things were. Now, I've heard other people say the same thing, essentially, but they haven't got a clue when it comes to what God wants them to do because they don't know what God says in the Bible. But my dad knew. It was pretty simple, very profound, especially when it's lived out on a daily basis. And I had been had opportunity to watch that for a number of years, and I saw him as I was growing up, and that pretty well described him. So I try to do the same. My goal is basically the same. I try to do what the Lord tells me to do and avoid what he doesn't want me to do, but you have to know the book. Otherwise, you're just walking in the dark, or you're forming your own opinion, or you're guessing. You need to know the book. The second question I asked him was, would you die for what you believe if the situation were to develop that puts you into a martyr's place? Well, he pondered that one for a while, and would you be willing to die for what you believe? And finally he said, yeah, I think so. Then he looked at me and he said, but you know, Jack, I'm 70 years old, and I've had most of my life already. I don't know if I could do it if I was your age and had most of my life in front of me. Now, little did he know, or I know at that time, but he lived for another 28 years. So, you know, but in saying that, my father is the foundation of my faith, even though he died 5 years ago. He's the touchstone of what I believe. A father gives his children a foundation. Depends on the foundation, I guess. So today, I want to talk to you about a father's faith. And this is what I would have done on Father's Day. Now, I have one kid here in Decatur and three all over the country. But I also know this, that for a number of you, I'm kind of like a spiritual father in the faith. That is, you came to faith under my guidance and my direction, or I was an instrumental player in your coming to know Jesus for the first time, or maybe in a deeper and stronger way at another time. So today, I want to give you a piece of my faith, and if you ask me a question about my faith. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I'm the pastor of this church, and I have been since 1998, and this Wednesday is the anniversary of 17 years, actually. But I'm also a man. I'm a father. I have imperfections. I have sin in my nature. But I have had to discover faith and life like anybody else here. So, but I was not conceived on a rock and hatched by the sun into the ministry at the age of 30. There's a real boy standing up here. So today I want to talk to you about my faith, about faith in general and what I see as important aspects of faith in living this life. Now, when I talk about these things, it affects how we are as a church because I am the leader and I have been for quite a while now. And so we as a church are going to consider these things important as well because that's what a leader does. He leads along a path. We have a lot of things going on in this church all the time, just like all families and all businesses. We have women's groups, and we have reunion groups, and we have youth groups, and we have Bible studies and Sunday school and worship, and we have all kinds of committee meetings ad infinitum, ad nauseum. We have Boy Scouts. We have a women's retreat once a year. We have a men's retreat coming up in August. I suggest all you men sign up to come to that. We have the Great Banquet, which we do here in this church six times a year. We have the Awakening, where we do a boys and girls awakening. We even had a weight-reducing program here for a while, but I guess we just quit that. We have a lot of mission work that we do as a church as well. We do two men's prisons, Great Banquets each year. We're doing two women's Great Banquet prisons each year. We've gone to Jamaica and Florida and Las Vegas and other places to start Great Banquets and a host of other things all the time. But the question is, where do we keep the faith? Where do we keep the faith? Without faith in Jesus, we're like any other social organization. In fact, there are a lot of organizations that do the same kinds of work that we do in terms of just general stuff. But what makes us different? Where do we keep the faith? What sets you apart from other people? What sets us apart from other groups? What do you believe? What makes you a Christian? I used to have a sign on my office that said, if going to church makes you a Christian, then going to a garage makes you a car. What makes you a Christian? What makes us a church? Well, the answer is what we believe, and it has to do with faith. The Bible says some mighty tall things about faith. We're told that faith can move mountains. It can set a man straight with God. It can generate enormous reserves of hope and love. It can change a man from a life of living for self to a life of living for others. I have a few verses printed. I'd like for us to read them together, beginning with Mark 9:23 and then Romans. Let's read them together. I'm just running to string them together here. All things are possible to him who believes. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, if you take these scriptures, which you've got in your bulletin, and you put the essence and principles that are present in those scriptures together, you have the essence of my faith. We as a church can have a lot going on for us, and a lot going for us for that matter. But if you look at these verses, and the last verse essentially, you're going to know something that I know. That if we are a church, a people without faith, it is impossible even for a church to please God. All that we do is not what is important. What we believe is important. And I want to talk to you today about my faith as a father to my kids, and there are three aspects of my faith that I wish to lay in front of you. First, my faith is always mixed with doubt. Maybe yours isn't, but mine is. My faith and doubts are nourished by the same inner energies. Faith and doubt in me are two sides of the same coin. It seems to me that the truth is only a man who doubts can believe with his eyes open. And only a person who believes can doubt with his eyes open. I read a scripture earlier that it's one of my favorites. Jesus meets this distraught father whose son was controlled by an evil spirit that would convulse the boy and try to harm him. And Jesus asked the father, he says, how long has he had this? And he said, from childhood. But if you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. And Jesus responds with a bit of what appears to me to be a lack of patience. And he says, if you can. The best this father can do is sort of ask out of hopelessness. Jesus answered, if you can. All things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father came back with one of the most honest statements to be found anywhere. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And there's the mix. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. This is not two people. It's one man saying, Lord, I believe. And then he turns right around and says the other side of the coin, help my unbelief. One man saying both. Faith and doubt mixed together, and they are inseparable. Wherever you're going to find one, you're bound to find the other one. Now, some Sundays I get up here, and I have great faith about the importance of what I'm saying. I have great faith in you in terms of the hearers, but not 10 minutes after I'm done, I will sometimes fall off the cliff into the valley of doubt. I doubt if you hear anything or receive anything or do anything about it with your life, or I doubt that it makes any difference at all. Faith and doubt, they're bound together in me and probably in you as well. But ultimately, so far, what keeps me going is my faith, not my doubts. The second thing about my faith that is that my faith is tied to my life. It is not a Sunday morning religion as it is for some people. I believe that history is the sphere in which faith operates. Whether we're talking about your history or my history or world history, faith lives in time and space, and it is only as my life questions me that I know what I believe and how deeply I really believe it. In fact, it is only as life questions me through living it that I discover that I need to have faith and in what I have faith. It is simply just not true that we get our faith all worked out intellectually, perhaps in college or seminary or in our church or in worship or in Sunday school or in our homes, and then we go apply it to life situations. We get our faith as we live life. We get our faith as we live out what we say we believe. The way we get faith is we know as we go. Say it with me. We know as we go. If you don't go, you don't know. And it's that simple. If you ever had to face the horror and hell that can be generated in this world, whether we're talking about a crisis around death or tragedy, or maybe an illness, or maybe a troubled marriage, or bad finances or business problems or any number of ways in which we reach a point where we alone cannot make it, where we're stuck. If you have ever literally reached the end of your rope in terms of this life, then you will probably understand this a little bit better. You know as you go. If you have ever stepped out in faith, if you've taken a risk for God, not for you, but for God, you played by His agenda, not your agenda, or you put your life and future in His hands, then you probably understand what I am saying. You know as you go. And if you won't go, you won't know God's actions, His ways, His promises. There is an economy with God regarding the gift of faith. It is only as we attempt great things for God that we can expect great things from God. If we're content to play the money game or the status game or the pleasure game or the self game or the couch potato game, we don't need faith for that. If we're playing 9 to 5 till we're 65 and then away game, we don't need faith for that. But if you're trying to move some mountain of unbelief or apathy or prejudice or injustice or hatred, it is then that God will give us faith. If we are faced with a great test from the horrors of life, it is then that God will give us great faith. We know as we go. Boy, I've learned this truth. We know as we go. And if you will not go, then you will not know. It's as simple as that. If we will not go, we will not know. You know, Job did not know how deeply he believed until his wife advised him to curse God and die. Under the provocation of that option, he found it in his soul to rise up out of his malaise, and he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Faith is tied to life." Do you know how difficult it was to give that message last week for me? But God told me to do it, and I learned as I go. It's just one of those things. because basically I took a stand for what God says and not what the culture says and the Supreme Court and our government says. It takes faith, and you know as you go. The first two aspects of my faith are faith and doubt are really all wrapped up together. And secondly, faith is tied to life, and you know as you go. The third thing is that my faith's chief resource is Jesus. For me to talk of faith is to talk of Jesus. If you read the mission statement, which is there every Sunday on your bulletin, right at the very top above our name, read it with me, will you? To know Jesus as Savior and Lord and to make Him known. Now you can see it out there in the atrium as well. The reason that we have that as our mission statement, to know Jesus as Savior and Lord and to make Him known, is because I am spiritual director, leader of this place, and a couple years after I was here, I says, we need to make a mission statement, and this is very pointed and very direct, and it's a way to live life. And like it or not, that's who we are as long as you want me up here. Jesus is not the object of our faith. He is that, that's true, but He is also for us the source of my faith. We believe in Him, but we also believe through Him, and we follow Him. Another thing we strive for is to believe Him, not just believe in Him. There's a big difference here between believing in Him and believing Him. You can believe that Jesus is your Savior, but you may not believe Him when He says, you know, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. To believe Him is to make Him Lord. Many times we believe in Jesus, but we just won't or can't believe what He says when He speaks. As I said, as a father, I think about my own faith and that of you and my kids, and the question arises, how does faith come? What really generates faith? I believe that the Spirit of God brings faith as a gift from Jesus. He said He would send a counselor, the Holy Spirit, to teach us and to give us faith. That's what He said in the Gospel of John. He promised us the Holy Spirit, and if we look at Jesus, the primary characteristic that I see in Him, He is continually aware of what the Father is doing. If you look at His teachings on the kingdom of God, His parables, the Lord's Prayer, His dealings with people throughout the Gospels, He is constantly infilled with the awareness of the Father's presence and what the Father is doing. The Father abides in the Son, and He only does what He sees the Father doing. Now, you know as well as I do, when we hang around some people, we find ourselves drifting into gutter talk or gossip or negative attitudes and thoughts and such. When we hang around other people, we find ourselves laughing more because that's the part of who they are. When we hang around still other people, we tend to be cynical because there's some people that are just cynical all the time. But when we keep company with people who seem to abide in Christ, and when we begin to keep company with Jesus Himself, we start to believe and act and speak with the presence of the Father. Jesus brings us faith. He is faith's most reliable witness and most convincing spokesman. His life awakens my faith. He inspires me to doubt my own doubts and to believe what I say I believe. He provokes the questions that give meaning to my life and brings forth faith in me. Faith then does not come from me standing up here on Sunday mornings preaching to you. My faith comes through exposure to Jesus, who is the source of my faith. This is why I tell you, I've told my kids, it's so important to read the scriptures. You need to be in places where there is worship and prayer and fellowship and teaching. You sense the presence of Jesus in other people in those places. Then be open to His Spirit in the world around us. We're very familiar with the term identity crisis. People who don't know who they are or what their purpose in life is. Well, the church in many places today is caught in an identity crisis of its own. The reason is because many churches have forgotten the face of our Father in heaven, and we don't look to His Son. And the church in many places is asking the question, who are we really anyway? We whose work is duplicated in so many ways in so many places by other people, who are we? Well, I don't have an identity crisis or problem. I know who I am, and I also know who we are as a church. We are those who believe in God the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Our mission is to make sure that we know Jesus as our own Savior and our own Lord, and we need to help others know Him first as Savior and also then to help them grow in the faith to make Him Lord of their lives. That's who we are. That's what we do. We are a household of faith. It is our faith in Jesus that makes us Christian. The richness of this church is our faith. I've had several people walk through this church or come here, and they said, boy, this is a beautiful church. And I always answer them, it certainly is. And the building is nice too. They're talking about the building, but I'm speaking of you. The richness of this church is you. And the richness of you is your faith. Now, the other side of the coin is also there, though, is that the poverty of this church is also you and your lack of faith. We are the church, and if we have no faith, we have no church because there are no Christians. It is my understanding that we cannot do much for others in Jesus' name or for very long unless we know who we are. We can't have what we will not use, and we cannot use what we do not have. Faith is a matter of hearing, but we will know only as we go. This church is more than the sum of its parts. And when I speak of this church, I'm not talking about the building. But we must not forget that the faith of a given congregation rests ultimately on the faith of its members in particular. That's you, by the way. If you look at many of our songs that we sing, the scriptures that we use, and you're going to find that a lot of them are in the first person. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. This one thing I do. Jesus loves me, this I know. How is it with your faith? Do you prize your faith for the treasure that it is? Do you expose yourself to Jesus for the growth and the enlargement of your faith? So if you ask me about my faith, well, faith and doubts work together. Faith and life are closely tied together. And you will know as you go. And if you will not go, then you're not going to know God's faithfulness. And Jesus is the source of my faith. I follow Him. Who do you follow? For those of you who might want to know, this is what makes me tick. Let's pray. Lord, in our days, sometimes the simplicity of faith is overlooked. Help us to be faithful as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.